Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find about a third of the way down from the top of the page. We continue with laws that are relevant to Chol HaMoed, what you are and what you are not allowed to do. Ein loikhim botim avodim ubehemo. One is not to engage in the purchase of houses, slaves, or animals, elo litzor HaMoed, unless it's necessary for the holiday itself, for the period of time that you're experiencing right now, namely Chol HaMoed and the end of the holiday. Oy litzorach hamocher she'ein loy ma yochal. Or if you are paying money to someone who is selling that he himself doesn't have any money. So you're giving him money so that he'll be able to have something to live on, and in exchange for that you get this item. Before we continue with the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Haim Mutter, the topic heading is the Nose that you see on the side of the Gemara. Haim Mutter Laha'asik Poyel She'ein Lo Le'choyul Lasus Melochus B'chol HaMoed Kidei L'shalem Loi V'yeh Loi Ma Le'chol. Can you engage a worker to do different things, different activities, different jobs on Chol HaMoed, because this way he will be able to have money to live on? You'll be paying him for services rendered. Bomine Rova me Rav Nachman Schar Peulo She'ein Loi Ma Yochal. Notice the markings. We have a singular quotation marks in order to be able to read this as a phrase. Read this together. Peulo She'ein Loi Ma Yochal. Can one pay a worker who himself doesn't have anything to live on? Can you pay him for services? Mahu. Again, we emphasize time and time again that on Chol HaMoed we're commanded to refrain from all kinds of activities. In this case, I'm going to be hiring someone that is going to do activities that otherwise I shouldn't be doing. Can this be done? So that's the question. Mahu. Omarle. Note the markings. We have a triangle that will appear in alternating directions. On the side, you have a mivne, a structural note, which indicates that this is l'shem ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion. So Omarle, Tanino, Rav Nachman responds to Rav and says, well, we have this taught in our Mishnah. It said, "Oy l'tzorach hamocher, she'ein lo ma yochal." There seems to be a extra expression here, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, and we're going to be presenting this part of the Mishnah in a fashion unlike the way we explained the Mishnah as we were learning the Mishnah. So Rav Nachman says, in the Mishnah it says you can buy the botim avonim ubehemo. If it's l'tzorach hamocher, if it's for the benefit of the vendor, and then it adds she'ein lo moyochal. That phrase she'ein la loy ma yoichal vasuye mai. What is it coming to include? Meaning, if you are to read this as we did when we learned the Mishnah, that I'm buying from the vendor because he doesn't have anything to eat, well, that would be included in the phrase O Litzorach HaMocher. Why the extra words She'ein Lo Mayochal? So Lav La Suye, isn't this extra phrase She'ein Lo Mayochal coming to include Schar Pe'ula? So Rav Nachman says, yes, you can hire the worker to do various things on Chol HaMoed only because he doesn't have what to eat. Omar Le Rava who asked the question, he says back to Rav Nachman, that's not convincing. He says, Loi, the Mishnah doesn't necessarily include the case I am asking about. Pirushi Komeforesh. The Mishnah is explaining the case of the Mocher. It's not talking about hiring a worker to do activities. Doing activities on Chol HaMoed is a more serious matter than a simple transaction. So that I can't see from this Mishnah an answer to my question about hiring a worker. Esfei Abaye. So now Abaye challenges Rava. Rava seems to be of the persuasion right now that you cannot hire the worker, even if he doesn't have anything to eat. So Abaye asks, Esfei Abaye, Ein Kosvin Shtori Choyv B'Moye. We don't write bills of debt on Chol HaMoed. Vim Einoi Ma'aminoi, Oy She'ein Loi Ma Yoichal, Harei Ze Yichtoiv. Two cases here that are exceptions. If the malva, the person who is lending the money, doesn't trust the lova without a written document, so then you can write it. And the second allowance is she'ein lo ma yochal. She'ein lo ma yochal asimai. What is that phrase coming to include? What scenario is that talking about? Lav la suye. Is it not coming to include schar pu'ula, that the sofer, scribe who is writing this, doesn't have money to live on, and hence I'm allowed to have a bill of debt written on Chol HaMoed in order to have an excuse, so to speak, to pay the sofer, because in order for him to have money to live on. Shema Mina. So this would seem to be conclusive then that you are allowed to hire a worker, in this case the scribe, and he would be representative of all activities that otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. You can't write on Chol HaMoed, but because it's a scribe that doesn't have anything to live on, so I can hire him to write the bill of debt. Contracts, of course, were written out by scribes, as you can see. The Gemara asks, Moisiv Rav Sheshes. And again, from the markings, you can see that this is taking the approach contrary to what Abaye wanted to conclude, contrary to Rav Nachman. And the result of this question will be that you cannot hire workers even if they don't have anything to eat. Moisiv Rav Sheshes, v'chachomim omrim, shalosh umonios oisin melocha be'arve psochim ad chatzos. There are three crafts, or artisans, that are allowed to engage in their trade, in their craft, on the 14th of Nisan, that's Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, we might as well say, is a quasi-holiday. Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the time that people were engaged in offering the Korban Pesach. Basically, from noon on, that was the preoccupation of the people. So, Erev Pesach is a time of, let's say, limited malocha allowance. And with that background, this source takes on greater meaning that we're making an allowance on Erev Pesach for three craftsmen to engage in their work. They are the chayotin, the tailors, the saporan, barbers, valkuvsin, washmen. Hachayotin, and we have some additional markings here. Notice the crown shape, and on the side we have havlata shekain. This word is highlighted. Shehem dvorim hamutorin lasos b'chol HaMoed. These are things that we allow to be done on Chol HaMoed as well. So we say the chayotim, the tailors, are allowed to engage in their craft Erev Pesach until noon. Shekain hedyoid toifer kedarko b'chol HaMoed. Because there's precedent for leniency in the realm of tailoring with regard to, and this is something we've learned earlier, the non-professional can engage in sewing without a shinui on Chol HaMoed. So we see a precedent of leniency with regard to sewing. Hasaporn va'koivsin, barbers and washmen, shekein Haboin Mimidinas Hayam, Vahayotse Mibesa Surin. These are points that will be discussed in the beginning of the next parak. People who, let us, came on, they came right before Yom Tov. They came from overseas. They didn't have a chance to take a haircut for the holiday or wash their clothing. Vahayotse Mibesa Surin, likewise, someone who left jail, left prison. Mutarin l'sapi l'chabis b'chol shemoy. So here you have again a precedent for a leniency on Erev Pesach based on the allowance, the permission of doing these things on chol hamoyed. So we have a very limited range of activities that we allow on Erev Pesach because these specific examples are a source of leniency on chol hamoyed. Now, v'i salka daitoch schar pula she'en lo mayochel shori, if, as Abaye contended and Rav Nachman contended, that you can hire any worker, any craft, any artisan, only because he doesn't have what to eat, and you can hire him on chol hamoyed for that purpose, kol melachos nami lishteru, then all melachos, not just these three, the chayotim, the sapar, and the kaisim, all melachos should be allowed on Erev Pesach. Again, Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, Pesach Eve, is based on the leniency for that day, is based on the chol hamoed precedent. So if chol hamoed were allowed in all melachos, because of that particular case where the artisan who doesn't have what to eat, you can hire him. So have that reflect upon chol hamoyed on Erev Pesach. That is ta ikos char pulo she'en lo ma yocha. We have an across the boards heter for all workers. So all jobs should be allowed to be done on Erev Pesach. So, and yet we don't see that. So it must be that schar pu'ulo she'en lo ma'yochal is not something that is allowed. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Again, note the direction of the triangles. And Rashi is sensitive here to the structure by saying, Rashi across a couple of lines down from here, you see Rashi, Maskif lo Rav Papa, ad Rav Sheshes Porach. He is asking on Rav Sheshes. Midor Porach mehai disnan, sholosh unoz oisun melocha barav ipsochem. From the fact that Rav Sheshes was basing his point on this source, Alma sovar kol melocha sheroi, it seems that Rav Sheshes was concluding from this that any malacha that you can do on Chol Hamoed, you can do on Erev Pesach. So Rav Papa raises a challenge. Maskif Rav Papa, Elo Me'ata, that which is mutar on Chol Hamoed is mutar on Erev Pesach. Binyan Lishteri. Note the markings. We have a diamond, and on the side we have an explanation. Havlotas melachos shelefisvaras Rav Sheshes. We have, let's see, the accenting, the highlighting of melachos of activities that, according to Rav Sheshes, from the Hatira Begam Erev Pesach, we should allow these things. Building, and the next diamond also deals with a scribe. We should allow on Erev Pesach. Demashim Erev Sheshes, Demashim Mutar B'chol Hamoed, Mutar Erev Pesach. Umakshim Al Rav Sheshes, Delo Matzina Shim Mutar Erev Pesach, Chutz Migimel Umonios. Yet, we see that only those three things are allowed, even though there are other things that are clearly mutar on chol hamoed. So that Rav Sheshes, who was basing his point by the chol hamoed Erev Pesach equation, that equation isn't set in concrete, if you will. It's not something that is hard and fast. So let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Papa asks, Ela Me'ata, according to you, Rav Sheshes, that wants to base your point, your whole thesis, on this very tight Chol Hamoyed Erev Pesach connection or relationship, well then it stands to reason, Binyan Lishteri should allow construction. Shekain, Again, you see the crown marking, and we said before, these are things that are mutter to do on Chol HaMoed. Kaisel HaGeil Shesarabim, a flimsy wall that's tilting, that's leaning toward a public thoroughfare, threatening with collapse. So, Siru Boine Kedarkoi, Mibnei HaSakon, you're allowed to knock down the wall and reconstruct it on Chol HaMoed. So you see that it's not limited just to those three malachas. Why then on Erev Pesach are we limiting it to just those three malachas, the three umonios? Building should be allowed. Maskil for Ravino, along the same lines, and that's why the triangle is in the same direction. He asks the same type of question. He asks, Elomeata, Lablor Lishtri, scribes should be allowed to do their craft on Erev Pesach, Shekin Kosvin, Kidushay Noshim, Gitin Vishovarin. On Chol HaMoed, we know that you were allowed to write marriage documents and divorce documents and receipts. So they are challenging Rav Sheshis's contention that there's a tight relationship, that whatever is mutter on Chol HaMoed is mutter on Erev Pesach, and if not, not. So you see, that's not the case from over here. And since that's not the case, it might very well be they are claiming that Schar Pula Sheino Mayochal is in fact mutter on Chol HaMoed, and the fact that we don't have an across the board hefter on Erev Pesach is a different question. Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Moyed Arbos or Koramis. So, are you trying to raise a question from what we allow on Chol HaMoed to what we allow or don't allow on the 14th of Nisan? There are two different realms, and you can't conclude one from the other. Moyed Mishum Tirchahu. Moyed, Chol HaMoed is governed by whether or not something involves extra exertion, extra troubling of oneself. And where there's an issue of loss, the rabbis were lenient and allow you to do that, even though it involves tircha. Arbosar mishum tzorach yom tovu. The 14th of Nisan and is governed by whether or not something is needed for Yom Tov. Midi Ditzorch Yom Tov Shor Rabbonon, something that's necessary for the holiday itself, we allow. And Midi Delav Tzorch Yom Tov Lo Shor Rabbonon, something that's not necessary for Yom Tov, the rabbis don't allow. And we have to add at this point. And if you have a worker that doesn't have what to eat, so by all means, Erev Pesach, certainly you can hire him because you don't have a greater Yom Tov need than that. And that's something that you can see in the Rashi. The Mishnah. Ein mifanin mibayas labayas. We do not move on Chol HaMoed, move things from one house to another. Avo mifanahu l'chatseroi. However, one can move things from his house to a courtyard. Now, it's mashma that he brings things from a house in one chotzer, that was in another chotzer, to his own chotzer. That's what Avol Mifanehu Lichatzero. That's what it sounds like at this point, that you can take things from a house in another courtyard to your courtyard. Now there's a comment made in Tosfos, the last Tosfos, little Tosfos, Ein Mifanin Mibayas Labayas. You don't move things from one house to another. Yerushalmi Matir Mibayas Acher Lebeiso. However, if it's a question of moving things from another house to your own house, that is mutter. According to the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, She'orev L'odom L'odur B'shel, a person enjoys more dwelling in his own house. So if, let us say, for some reason a person had been dwelling somewhere else and his items were there and he has an opportunity on Chol HaMoed to move the items back into his own house, that would be allowed. Likewise, you see in the Rabbeinu Hananel, he is found toward the end of the Rabbeinu Chananel commentary, three lines from the bottom, Ein mefanin mebayis lebayis. We don't move items from one house to another. Avo mefanuhu bebayis shebechatzer. Yushalmi, he too quotes the Yushalmi. Ein mefanin lo midira noa ledira noa. You don't move things from one nice house, dwelling to another nice dwelling. Velo midira noa ledira kura. Not from a nice dwelling to an ugly place. Besof shelo, however, when it's with regard to his own property, afilu midira noa shel chavero ledira keura shelo mefanin. If his, let's say, a person had his wares in his friend's beautiful flat, and he is going to move them to his own homely facility. Homely, of course, there's a nice pun intended over there. So that's mefanin. A person enjoys living in his own ugly apartment more so than in his friend's beautiful estate. Now, we continue in the Mishnah. Ein mevian kelim mi beis ha'umon. One is not to bring vessels. Let us say a person had hired someone to repair articles, and they're in the craftsman's dwelling or the craftsman's shop. So you don't bring things from the home of the craftsman to your own home. If, however, you are troubled that maybe something will happen to them over there by the Uman, mefanin lechotzer acheres, so you can move them to another courtyard that's away from the craftsman's place. The Gemara asks, V'amis reisha ein mefanin klal. The Seifa indicates that you can move to another courtyard, but the Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah, indicated that you cannot move things at all. Omar Abaye, Seifa asa'on lebayis shabachotzer. The Seifa that says, im choshish lemefanin lechotzer acheres, is talking about a case where he is mefane, he moves things from a house in this courtyard to the courtyard itself. That's considered less involvement, less dramatic, and hence that's allowed. The Rashi says, "Seif ason lebayis shebechotzer v'hochi kotoni mefanehu mibayis shebechatzero lichatzero." You can move things from a house in your courtyard to the courtyard. So that's all that the Mishnah at the end was allowing. But to move things from one courtyard to another, that would not be allowed. The Ein Mevian Kalim Besu Uman. Omar Av Papa, Bodik Lon Rava. Our Mishnah had taught that you cannot move things from the craftsman's house to your home, to bring things back home from the shop. So Rav Papa tells us a story that Bodik Lon Rava. Rava tested us out. Rav Papa was a student of Rava's. So Rav Papa relates that Rava tested us out. On the one hand, Tanan, a Yava Tanaic source that says, Ein Mevian Kelim Mibeis Ha'uman. You cannot bring vessels from the shop, from the craftsman's shop. V'raminu. And we raise an objection, a contradiction was raised. Mevian Molichun Mevian Kelim Mibeis Ha'uman. You can molech, bring things to the artisan's shop, umevian, and bring back from there v'afalpi she'einon l'tzorach hamoed, even if they're not necessary for the holiday. So the Aleph source says you cannot bring things from the artisan shop. The second source says you're allowed to. V'shaninon lei. Rav Papa continues his story and he tells us, and we answered him, we answered Rava, Kanbar, Boso, Kanbechol Shemoyed. The two sources are talking about different times. One is talking about the 14th of Nisan, and you recall earlier today in our shiur, we mentioned that the 14th of Nisan was a quasi-holiday, and it has restrictions. And the other source, the second source, the base source, is of reference to the 14th of Nisan. It's more lenient than Chol HaMoed. And the first source, which was more restrictive, that's a reference to Chol HaMoed. Iboy Asema, Hava HaBechol HaShemoed. Another answer to these would be Both sources are talking about Chol HaMoed itself, kan b'ma'amino, kan b'she'eno ma'amino. In the case where you trust the craftsman, so then you cannot bring things back from his house. However, in a case where you don't trust him, then we have greater leniency, and you can bring things back from his house. V'ha Tanya, and here we have a Tanakh source that is brought as a support. And Rashi points out that even though most times we see V'ha Tanya, it's a question here, it is a support. And in this source, you see we've dashed, underlined, V'im Eino Ma'amino, hence the connection to our discussion. It says in this source, M'vim Kemi Beisuman, you can bring vessels from the craftsman's house, Kagon, Kad Mibes HaKadog, V'kois Mibes HaZagog. A Kad is a pitcher from the pitcher maker. A cup, usually made of glass, you can bring from the Zagog. Zagog is the glass man, the glass blower. These are things that are needed for the holiday. Avoloi tsemer mibeis hatzava, but on Chol HaMoed you cannot bring wool from the dyer. Tseva is the, or dyes, where people would have their wools dyed. Velo kelim mibeis ha'uman, and vessels cannot be brought from the craftsman's place. Other than, of course, the examples that we gave before, the pitcher and the cups, but other kinds of vessels cannot be brought from the Beis Uman. V'im ein loy ma yoichal, if the artisan doesn't have what to eat, and by your taking the vessel, so that's your opportunity also to pay him, so no sein lo schoro umanicho etzlo, you will pay him for his services, and nevertheless, that's still not reason for bringing the vessels back home, and that's umanicho, you leave them by him. V'im eino ma'amino, if you don't trust that craftsman, you would then take the vessels out of the craftsman's shop and put them in a house next door, near his place. But again, not bringing them home. The im choishish lehem, if you're concerned about the vessels even over there in the bayis samuchloi, so im choishish lehem shema yiganvu, you're worried they might be stolen from there. Mevion b'tzina b'soch bay. So then you're allowed to bring them home in an unobtrusive, unobvious fashion. So, what have we done so far? We had contradictory sources. One source was restrictive. It said, and with Aleph source, you don't bring vessels back from the Beis Uman, and the second source indicated you can bring things to his house, bring things back. That's allowed. So, what have we resolved till now? If you focus in on Bay seconds, the Bay source at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, there were two actions. There was bringing things to the craftsman and bringing things back home from there. So as far as the contradiction regarding bringing things back home, that we have resolved. If you trust him, so you can't bring the articles back from his shop, leave them there. If you don't trust him, and you're worried they might get stolen, so then you are allowed to bring them back. So the Gemara says, Tiratzta Mevian, we've resolved the issue of bringing back home when you are allowed and when you're not. Moilichin Kashya. However, regarding the issue of bringing things to the craftsman on Chol HaMoed, there is a difficulty that we haven't dealt with. Dikotoni, source Aleph, in our Mishnah says, Ein Mevian, you can't bring things back home. In other words, the service was already rendered, and it's only an issue now of bringing things back home. And the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. The kol shekein she'ein molichin. Well, all the more so that you can't bring things to the shop on Chol HaMoed. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, not only ein mevian, but certainly ein molichin. You cannot bring things to his shop. And in the second source, it said explicitly, you are allowed to bring things to his shop. So as far as that issue is concerned, we don't have a resolution. Elo machvarto kidishanyon meikora. Rather, the first resolution would be a better approach. that the source that has leniency in it is a reference to the 14th of Nisan. It's a different time period, and the Mishnah, the Aleph source, was a reference to Chol HaMoed that has all the restrictions. Hence, no contradiction. Regarding this last point, that we preferred the first resolution over the second resolution, Rashi points out the second resolution had said that the source that says you cannot bring things back home, namely our Mishnah, that's where you trust him. So the source that says you are allowed to bring things back home, that's where you don't trust him. So that's a good resolution regarding the issue of bringing back to your house from the artisan's workshop. But how in the world would that fit in to the case of molichin, that you bring things to him? If we say that is talking about a case where you do not trust him, what does that mean that you bring things to him? That doesn't fit in. It wouldn't seem to make any sense even. So, therefore, that resolution of trusting versus not trusting has bearing on the issue of bringing back from the Uman, whether you are or not allowed. But it doesn't have any bearing on the issue of bringing to the Uman in the first place. So, that is the reason the Gemara says we prefer resolution number one, the first resolution. Namely, 14th of Nisan versus Chol HaMoed, with their different standards. The Mishnah. Mechapin es haktzios bekash, Rabbi Yud Omer af me'abin. Mechapin is you can cover. Ktzios are dried figs. You can cover them with straw. Rabbi Yud says, af me'abin. Now, me'abin itself means something that's thick, but we'll see more about this in the Gemara when it deals with the issue of language. Mochrei peiros, ksus v'kelim, people who are vendors of fruits, clothing, and vessels, mochrin b'tzino l'tzorcha moed, can, during Chol HaMoed, sell their items, their wares, their merchandise, in privacy. Tzino, again, is in an unobtrusive fashion. Atzayodin v'hadeshushos v'agrusos, tzayodim are trapsmen, the shushos are people that crush grains, and grusos is someone who grinds legumes. Oisin b'tzino l'tzorchomei, they can do their thing for Yom Tov purposes, for holiday purposes. Rabbi Yossi Omer, heim hechmiru al atzmon. Translated, we'll have to see what that's referring to later, but it says they exercised stringency upon themselves. Pligi bo Rabbi Chiyo bar Abo of Rabbi Asi. V'travayu mishmei d'chizki of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Asi argue, and both of them quote for their own stance, they quote both Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. Chad Omar, and here we're getting into an explanation of the words we see in the Mishnah. That's our topic heading, Shnei Deos al Pirushim Shel HaMilim, Mechapin and Ma'abin. We saw in the Mishnah these words, we have them dashed on the line, and here we'll see a discussion as to what those words really mean. And that's why we also have a little star to the side of the Gemara text, so you can see where this is coming from. So Chad Omar, Mechapin equals Aklushi, Ma'abin Asmuchi. We spoke about covering the dried figs. So mechapin would mean with branches, you're covering the figs with branches to protect them from the elements. You're going to cover them with branches, but distanced from one another. It's not a full-fledged covering. And ma'abin asmuchi, one next to the other, a solid type of, an effective type of covering. The Chad Omar mechapin, that the word mechapin, bein aklushi, bein asmuchi, that, if you like puns, so that covers both terms, the aklushi, the thin, the spread out kind of covering, and the consecutive branch covering. Me'abin, what does that mean? Oise, oisei, kamin, kri. That means that the figs themselves, you piled one on top of the other like a pile, so that makes it easier to cover them. Tanyo nami hochi. And we have a brisa that supports that explanation of ma'abin. Ma'abin equals oisa oisa kamin kri divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Moichrei peros ksus v'kelim moichrin b'tzino v'chulei. And the Mishnah went on to say, Rabbi Yossi omer heim hechmiru al atzman. They exercised self-imposed stringency. Vayelo, hein hechmiru al atzman. That expression, what does that mean? What is the stringency referred to? Is it Aleph? We have a structure of Aleph Oy Dilma Beis. Is it this O Dilma, or maybe the second possibility? So is it the Lohavu Avdi Klal, that these workers didn't do their thing at all? The Mishnah made reference to trapsmen and grain and legume grinders, that they didn't do their thing at all. Or that when they did what they did it in privacy. In order to appreciate this deliberation or this quandary, Rashi is essential, because the words of the Gemara beg the obvious question. The O Dilma da Havdu Avdi Bitsino, but the Tanakam himself said that you have to do it Bitsino in privacy. So what would Rabbi Yossi be adding to the Tanakama? So Rashi explains as follows. The Aleph, the first possibility, the Lohavu Avdi Klal, obviously is a Chumrah, whereas the Tanakhama says they could do their thing if they do it privately. These people, according to Rabbi Yossi, restricted themselves altogether from engaging in their craft. The second possibility is the Havu Avdi Bitsina is really a leniency that Rabbi Yossi is suggesting. Namely, that if they wanted to, they could have done it publicly, contrary to the Tanakhama. However, they on their own did it Bitsina, but not by letter of the law. Just to repeat, whereas the Tanakhama says it's required to be done bitsino by letter of the law, Rabbi Yossi is reflecting a leniency that's not so. By letter of the law, since it's l'sorach hamoi, they could have done it publicly. But they, on their own, decided to do it privately. Ta shma. So now we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yossi will appear, but before we go on, we have a marking scheme on the side, the nosei mivneh, the trapezoid shape, moichrim shoinim, different vendors, shemoichrim bitsino letzorchamoy, they would sell, but in private for holiday purposes. And a diamond appears. These are mekoymos shechmiru shalolim kor klal b'moyd, places that they had imposed upon themselves a restriction not to sell at all. Toshma moichrei. We're of course going back to the Gemara text. Moichrei peros ksus v'kelim moichrim b'tzino l'tzorach hamoyed. Vendors of ksus, clothing, kelim, different utensils, can sell on chol hamoyed, but privately for holiday needs. Rabbi Yossi Omer tagrei taveria. The tagor is our vendors, merchants. The merchants in Tveria, they exercise self-imposed restrictions and not sold at all. And again, you see it's Rabbi Yossi speaking, and we dashed underlined that their chumra was not to sell at all. And that corresponds to the aleph in the two possibilities we saw just two lines up. Tzode, chayas v'oifos, v'dogim, tzode b'tzino l'tzorach hamoy, trapsmen of animals and birds and fish, can do so privately for holiday needs. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tzode Akko, the Akko trapsmen, Heinich Miro Atzmon Shalud Tzodim Kolikar, they would not trap at all. Deshushe, that we saw before, has to do with the crushing, the threshing or crushing of grains. Deshushe Chilko Targis Vitisni, different forms of crushing of grains. Doishishin Vitzinot Sorachamoy, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Deshushe Tzipori, it was another town, Heinich Miro Atzmon, Shaloyu Doishishin Kol Iker. They wouldn't do their crushing at all. Omar Abaye. Abaye describes the different terms we had just two lines up. Chilko is chado letarti. It's taking a wheat grain and splitting it into two pieces, two halves. Targis chada letlas, it's splitting wheat grains into three sections, and tisni chada learba'a, it's crushing wheat grain into four pieces, four parts. There are, in fact, dishes that people make today from crushed wheat, and we'll leave that to the various chefs amongst us to describe them. Ki osa rabdimi omar, kunsa. Rav Dimi said that chilka is kunsa, and that is kosemes. It's one of the types of grains that are soaked in order for a very fine, clean flour to be made from it. Mesve. Now here we have triangles, and on the side we have a topic heading. Shnei Deos al Pirush Hamila Chilka. We have, in effect, two pshatim in what the word Chilka means. Abaye told us that Chilka is splitting wheat grains into two halves. Rav Dimi says that Chilka is kunsa, and that has to do with kosemes. It's one of the types of grains that's soaked in order to make clean flour from it. The soaking helps for the removal of it, the peel, and hence a clean, what's called soilus nikia. The triangle that you see here represents Shnei Kushos Amand Omar Kunsa. These are two questions on Rav Dimi, who claimed that it was Kunsa, this soaking, that Chilka was soaking of wheat, of kosemes, one of the types of grains, in order to make clean flour, Mesve. Chilka targis v'tisni temein b'chol mokim. These are the words we saw before. It says they are tome wherever you are, namely whether you're in villages or you're in large cities. These things are mekabel tuma. Now mekabel tuma, for things to be subject to defilement, they need to become wet. And we call that huchshir lekabel tuma. Rashi provides a great deal of background to this topic, so maybe let's look at Rashi. Tamein b'chol mokim, Rashi says, and we're looking at Rashi about halfway down the page. Mekablin tumo, the chilka tagris and tisni are mekabel tumo bein b'kforim bein b'krochim, whether you're in villages or in large cities. The kaimalon in Rashi here gives you the background from Maseches Pesachim. Soiles shel bnei krochim, the flower of city dwellers, mekabelis tumo sheuchshru b'mayim, it had been exposed to water. Ubnei kforim ein makpin masos, the people that live in villages are not concerned with having clean flour. So they are not makpin masos nikiyah, lusos b'mayim, to have their grains soaked in water. V'seus shelahem tohor, their flour, hence, is tohor, is not mekabel tumo, shelo huchshir me'olam, it was never exposed to water. Aval, but in contrast, chilko tamein b'chol mokom, afilu b'kforim, chilko is tamei all places, even in the villages. De'i efshir lohem below lusisa. In order to achieve chilko, it's impossible unless there was soaking. Mishum hochi tameim d'ho miskasher d'shori luhu b'mayim. Shor means they were soaked in water. So this Tanaic source tells us that, amongst other things, chilko is tamei in all places. Bishlama, the Gemara goes on, Bishlama damar chada letarti tasu l'arba, according to Abaye, who explained the different words as referring to different levels of splitting of the grains, mishum hachi tamein b'chol mokom de iskashur, it's impossible to split the grains in the way that we described without a prior soaking. Elaman damar kunsa, but according to Abaye, that chilko is kunsa, Amai tamein b'chol mokim. Why do you say that it's tamei in all places? And again, kunsa, as we explained earlier, was the soaking of the kosemes to create clean flour. But according to Rav Dimi, why would Kunsa be described as Tomei B'chol Mokom? Am I Tomei B'chol Mokom? Holo is Kasher. It wasn't soaked. They, as we said before, they weren't makbid on clean flour, and according to Rav Dimi's pshat, the kunsa was a soaking in order to achieve clean flour. The Gemara answers, kedain de miklifon, the case where it says chilka is tomei b'chol mokom, is chilka that was peeled. De e lav de shorolu b'maya, if it hadn't been soaked prior, lo have a miklifa, it wouldn't have been able to be peeled. Vamai kori le chilka. Why are peeled grains called chilka? The shokil chalkaihu. Rashi explains the shokil chalkaihu klomar kishenoitel haklipa v'havei cholok. That when you remove the peel, it becomes the what's left is something that's smooth. And chalak means smooth. So as far as Rav Dimi is concerned, he's defended his explanation of chilka being kunsa. And you'll ask, so how did it become mukhshar? Because the kunsa, the chilka described here, has already been peeled. And in order to peel it, it had to have been soaked. Meisvei, hanoider min hadogon, osur af beful hamitzri yovesh, umutur belach. One who forswears benefiting from dogon. Dogon is a word. Generally speaking, when you see the word dogon, it refers to grains. Now, grains in our lexicon is a reference to five specific types of grains. That's when we use the term grain in a learning context. That's what we're generally referring to. And the five include wheat, barley, spelt, and rye. And oats. The term grain does not include things like rice and legumes. Now here we have someone that forswore not to benefit from dogon. There's a chidush here. In the realm of vow taking, we find very often, especially for those who have learned Maseches Nedarim, that vows and the words one uses are not restricted to dictionary definitions. So one who forswore not to benefit from dogon, osur af bepul hamitzri yovesh, he cannot benefit from this type of bean. It's called pul hamitzri, a dry mitzri pool, the type of legume, a type of bean. Umuter belach, he is allowed, however, to eat from fresh ones that haven't been dried. And one who forswore benefiting from dogon is also allowed to benefit from chilka, targis, and tisni. Bishlamo lamanda omar chada latarti, chada latlas, chada laarba, shapir. According to the opinion that said that these words, chilka, targis, and tisni, reference to different levels of splitting of the grain, then this source makes sense. The nafku lumitoras dogon. They leave the category of dogon. And again, we spoke about dictionary definitions, but there's also the way people perceive the term. So when grains are split into these smaller pieces, it's not considered in people's minds by the term dogon. Elolamandam or kunsa, but according to Rav Dimi that said chilka was kunsa, and Rashi explained that it's kosemes. Kosemes is the Hebrew of one of those types of grains that we mentioned. It's still a full grain. Dogon malyahu, it's a full-fledged dogon. Why would someone who forswore benefiting from dogon be allowed to benefit from chilka? It's still a full-fledged grain. Kashya. So this presents a difficulty to Rav Dimi's explanation. Rav Huna, shorolahu lahano, the word shor means he permitted. Shorolahu lahano, krufpaisa, he allowed, krufpaisa are spice vendors, sellers of spices. The mezal, to go, lizvuni ki urchayu bishuka, to go, without any shinui, in a public fashion, to go and sell their spices. Of course, we're talking in the context of Chol HaMoed. Esvei Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana raised an objection. Chanus. a store. Now, a store, depending on its location, will be what we will allow vis-a-vis the opening of the store. How open can it be? Do you open the doors completely in a normal weekday fashion or not? Depends on the location of the store. So, achanus psucho l'stav, posef v'no kedarko. If it opens into a stav, we can say we'll call it an alleyway. It's a non-public thoroughfare. It doesn't open directly onto the street. So if it opens into a stove, then you can open in the shop, close it in a normal way during Chol HaMoed. Psucho l'rishus rabim, if the store opens to a public thoroughfare, posech achas v'noyol achas. Let's say you have many stores would have two doors that would swing open. So you open only one door and leave the other door locked. V'erev yom tov achron shel chag, if it's the we call it Hoshana Rabbah, it's the last day of Sukkot before Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, before Shmini Atzeres, Moitzi Ma'atir Shukei O'ir B'Peres B'Shvil Kvod Yom Tov Achron. Then you can take the fruits and fill the marketplaces with fruits in honor of the upcoming last day of Sukkot. B'Nei Kvod Yom Tov Achron In Shalom B'Nei Kvod Yom Tov Lo. The heter that this Tanaic source says is only because you're honoring the last day of, we'll call last day of Sukkot, or we call Shemini Atzeres, but for some other reason not allowed. Public selling is not allowed. So is this not a challenge to Rav Huna? Lo kashya. No, it's not a challenge to Rav Huna. Ha b'peri, ha b'tavlin. The restriction to open very public sales, that's with regard to fruits. However, with regard to spices that Rav Huna was dealing with, then you do not have that restriction. You'll ask, what's the difference? With regard to fruits, if they're sold publicly, people can think people are buying them on Chol HaMoed for after Yom Tov, for after the holiday. However, when it comes to selling of spices, people who go to buy spices, it's clear that he's buying them for the holiday. So that even if it's not the last day of Sukkot, the day before Shemini Atzeres, anyone who's buying spices during Chol HaMoed is buying it for the holiday. And therefore, there's no reason to be restrictive. As you can see, that brings us to the end of the second perek of Moed Katan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at, if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access Marked Gemara, so we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.